how a lot of children, you know, in school, the teachers try to say they got like different like attention deficit disorders and they're hyper. And but the thing is, it's not an attention deficit disorder. It's a nutrition deficit disorder.
Indeed.
Because they get up early and the first thing they do, they say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And they break their fast with like a sugary cereal or like, you know, some pancakes with a bunch of high fructose corn syrup or something on it. And then you expect these children to go sit in class and sit still and pay attention. And it's not the fact that they have some mental disorder. It's the fact that the foods that they're ingesting first thing in the morning, it's not giving them the proper things they need to sit in class and focus. And also, they're children. Like, you can't expect them to sit still for long anyway.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it definitely starts with what you're putting inside yourself.
I didn't even think about that. You know, that you're giving them some type of sugary cereal, and but telling them to, look, when you get to class,
sit down
and pay attention.
The Highest Point Podcast.
More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.
Yo. Welcome to the Highest Point Podcast. This is a podcast for everyone, no matter where you're from. No matter what you've been through, you know you deserve the best and willing to put in the work for progress to reach the highest point. Now, speaking about reaching the highest point, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest in the building. I'm talking about a chef. And no, I'm not talking about a normal type of chef, people. He's a plant-based chef. He's an alchemical plant-based chef. And what that means is his menu consists of foods that are 100% animal-free, 100% soy-free, 100% dairy-free, and somehow this stuff still tastes like it's from the heavens. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a man who's devoted his time, his energy to supporting the community and nourishing our souls through food and music. If you don't know who I'm talking about, I'm talking about the owner of Eats and Beats. Chef Alexander is in the building. What's happening with your brother?
Man, gratitude. What a wonderful intro, man. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm happy to be here, and I'm ready to get into some dialogue, man.
Yeah, let's man, go. Got to. I appreciate you joining us. I've been watching your movement, and I love what you got going on, you know. And but so often people see the end result of things and have no idea, you know, about the work put in, the sacrifices to get to where you are.
Right.
So, you know, I see you moving around with your, you know, food trailer, you know, helping people eat right. But can we start from the beginning first? Can you tell me a little bit like where you're from and what was your family dynamics growing up?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm from High Point, North Carolina, born and raised, you know, furniture capital of the world. I grew up in a single parent household. You know, my mother, she is the one that really inspired me on my culinary journey. She was the chef in our family, you know, and I used to love everybody that they came through to see her in the kitchen and experience her food. And I always loved the way that everyone could come together and just have those special moments around food. And that's when I kind of got bit by that culinary bug early through my mother. So, yeah, growing up in, you know, kind of like everybody else, we grow up in these neighborhoods, and we can either become products of those environment or we can use those things to kind of mold us and we can go out into the world and we can become better people. And so I use my upbringing to kind of give me my rough exterior so I can be able to relate to our people.
Right.
But I took it a little step further to come back. Go out into the world and come back and bring these nutritious, delicious meals to those same neighborhoods.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, sir.
Like, man, when you got the inside view, you know, what's missing, what can be provided, what can bridge gaps.
Exactly.
So, you know, I appreciate you, you know, doing that. Where did you go to your school? Where were you going to culinary school at?
Okay, so I went to culinary school in Charlotte at the Art Institute of Charlotte. I had realized it was maybe in about 2015. I realized I was working in the kitchen in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I had ended up moving to Myrtle Beach. And one day it just hit me, like, all the jobs I've ever worked were like in kitchens. And this thing has been following me my whole life. Like, if this is what I'm going to be doing, I might as well take it seriously.
Right.
So I started researching culinary schools, and the closest one I found was in Charlotte. And I kind of just overnight just like packed my bags. I moved to Charlotte and I enrolled in culinary school.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
And at the time, I was just, you know, I was just a traditional chef. Like, the whole plant-based thing hadn't started yet. So that was a little bit later.
Interesting. So what inspired you to start on that plant-based journey?
Yeah, honestly, like I was just explaining to Mike, it's kind of a thing that I always knew about. You know, we have knowledge, we have information, but a lot of times we don't apply that knowledge and we don't apply that information.
Right.
And so I had been maybe about 2012, you know, discovered like Dr. Lailo Africa and Dr. Sabi, and I was learning about these things, but I'm like, you know, I'll get to that eventually.
Right, right.
But in 2019, I found out I was going to be a father.
Mm.
And that's what changed it for me. Once I found out I was going to be a father, I knew that I had to make some changes. I knew that I wanted to raise my children a little bit differently than I was raised.
Right.
And so that's what really made me like really dig deeper into that information and start applying it so I could, you know, bring it forth into the, and materialize it so that I can raise my children a little bit better than I was.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, children will put a battery in your back, man, for sure.
It'll activate things that you never knew were there. So
Yeah, facts. So, you know, you transitioned to that, you know, plant-based diet, and I know you got the inspiration from your little one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people kind of standoffish from that plant-based diet. Like, to keep it real, I haven't transitioned to it because I was like, yo, I'm kind of intimidated by, like, I don't know what this is going to taste like.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to be good. I don't know how to dive in those type of ingredients to formulate a good meal.
Right.
So, you know, what would you say to those people?
I know exactly what you mean because I was the same way. And honestly, when I first started, it was a lot of me just, like I said, following the teachings of Dr. Sabi, you know, Dr. Africa.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that was just pretty much almost just eating raw fruits and vegetables, which can kind of get boring after a while. So
right.
For the average person, I can't see how it's a little intimidating because mm-hmm. it's just like, you want me to just stop eating how I'm used to eating.
Right.
So the thing I've been able to do with Eats and Beats is take things that people already know, love, and enjoy and kind of find a way to transmute it into the plant-based version of that.
Right.
So, for example, like I have a fried oyster mushroom sandwich on my menu that it kind of resembles like a chicken sandwich.
Okay.
So people see it and they like, man, that look like a chicken sandwich. I know they can recognize it.
Right.
And so it makes it more approachable versus me just like, hey, eat this raw carrot. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right. Yeah, that don't sound too appeasing.
Right. Or I even have like one of the things I used to enjoy a lot when I was a carnivore, which I like to call it. I used to go to Waffle House all the time and get that patty melt. And it's so good, that midnight diner type vibe, you know, after a long night. And so I found a way to kind of transmute that as well. And I make like a lentil patty melt where I take lentil beans, I boil them till they get a little soft. I mash them up. I make patties out of them by mixing in like some flaxseed and like a flaxseed egg, which I use ground flaxseed, a little bit of water. Some gluten-free breadcrumbs. I make patties out of them. I bake those in the oven.
Wow.
And I make like a patty melt out of that. But it's straight lentil beans full of, you know, natural plant protein. And it's nutritious for you, but you're still not missing that taste and those flavors from your traditional diet. So,
yeah.
But a person that, and I tell people all the time, what I do with Eats and Beats, it's not even for vegans. Because I feel like people that are vegan, they're going to come anyway because they already know what's up.
Right.
But what I do with Eats and Beats is for the person that's not vegan at all, that maybe wants to be, but they just don't know where to start. They don't know what their options are.
Right.
So I like to provide some recognizable things they already love and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the healthier alternative of it.
Ah, that's dope, man. And we definitely need that. Now, so them getting that knowledge base of it, you know, you provide that food, like in your food trailers, food trucks moving. So what about, what can your movement do to help people that if they need some help on, okay, how can I prepare a meal like this? Like, I really love this meal on your menu. How can I make something like this at home as well and help train up my family to change to this lifestyle?
Right. And I always feel like we got to start simple. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So really, the things that I do with my menu, it's not really too complex.
Right.
So it's things that people can do at home. Like, if you have like, you can get like a can of chickpeas, you know what I'm saying? And you can like use those, like mash them up. You can make like a hummus. Especially if you have children, you know, you mash the chickpeas up, mix in like some fresh garlic, some shallots. And that can be like a nice little snack alternative for your children instead of giving them like some processed food.
Right.
Or like I said, with the oyster mushrooms, like frying them might not be the most healthiest alternative. But the mushrooms itself is full with so much like brain food.
Mm-hmm.
It helps with like your focus and your mental clarity. And so even if you are frying them, that fried mushroom is a lot better than like some fried chicken or something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's plenty of ways to just start at home. One of the best things that I always encourage to people, honestly, one of the better options in eating vegan for some people when you first starting out is just to not eat at all. Maybe try to go a day with just fasting. just so you can start like retraining your taste buds and start killing off some of those cravings that you have for some of these foods. And honestly, like one of the biggest ones is like sugar. That's a big thing that has a hold on a lot of us.
You got a hold of me.
and me as well, you know, and I'm not perfect. So whenever I do get those sweet cravings, like I'll try to eat like a handful of dates or something. Those are naturally sweet. Or like eat like your favorite fruit, like a pineapple. You know, that's it's really sweet.
Right.
And it can kill some of those sweet cravings and stuff that we have. So I say before you even get in the kitchen and try to like cook up something, just try not eating. And then when you do eat, just enjoy, like learn to enjoy these things in their simplest form.
Absolutely.
Just each of the fruits and vegetables in their raw form. And then you can maybe graduate to like finding different ways to play around with them in the kitchen.
Right. Okay. Now you said something about like brain foods and things like that.
Yes, sir.
So if people is not, they're not 100% like plant-based yet, what would you say maybe top three foods they should try to include in their diet consistently and why?
Definitely some leafy greens like spinach, kale, honestly anything green. The more things green you can put into your body, the better you'll be. Green plants and humans are a lot alike in a lot of ways, where we especially, you know, we the things that we get from the sunlight, we need that sun, we charge in that sun, and so do plants. And so anything green you can get, those leafy greens, it'll help people to fight suffer from like constipation and things like that. It'll get your bowels moving. So definitely spinach, kale, Swiss chard, different leafy greens like
Swiss
that.
Swiss chard, what is that?
Yeah, yeah.
Am I lost? You know what that is?
Nah, I feel you.
Yes. Swiss, and actually now Swiss chard is more of a common, very common vegetable.
Right.
It's a very beautiful vegetable, and good and nutritious. I would encourage people also, most people are mineral deficient. Those greens will get the minerals in you. Root vegetables.
Definitely.
Root vegetables are high in minerals and phosphates because they draw it from the earth more so in and embody it than root to plant.
Right.
Know? Of course, there are some plants that have high constituencies of all of those properties, but, and berries.
Definitely.
Simple berries.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Raspberries, blueberries, goji berries, all of that, you know?
Yeah.
Very, very, very beneficial for the body. The antioxidants, you know, does a world for your system. You know, you hear it all the time about antioxidants. But when you really dive into it and see, you know, the great help that it gives you, especially when you're on a journey to health, you need those high antioxidants.
Absolutely.
It makes this machine operate at the highest point that it can, which in turn brings about your health.
Right.
A little faster, a little easier.
Yeah. Dope.
Yeah.
Hey, now, oh, that's very, very interesting. I want to shift gears a little bit. I worked in the healthcare industry for many years, right? And a lot of things that I've noticed in the healthcare industry are social determinants of health. And to give a breakdown of what that is social determinants of health is things that prevent people from getting healthcare. Like I'm from a very rural area of in North Carolina, Bertie County. So in that area, it probably takes 30 to 45 minutes to get to a really good hospital. So, and also where I'm from is not a lot of money. So a lot of people don't have transportation to even get to a place like that to have that quality healthcare at a hospital. So they may just go without. And I think that's the same when it comes to foods. I think it's social determinants of health as well when it comes to food, because a lot of these places, like in High Point, they don't have access to those foods that you're bringing up.
Right.
So they have those determinants, right? So what could your particular, you know, with Eats and Beats and the movement that you're doing with Grodega and things like that, how could that be beneficial to people in those type of areas?
Yes, that's exactly what the mission is. Like I said earlier off camera, I'm a part of an organization, a nonprofit back in High Point called Growing High Point, which is really an agricultural based organization. It's been established maybe about 3-4 years now. And I honestly just got on board last year I saw about what they were doing. They set up at a farmer's market every Saturday at our library parking lot. Mm-hmm. And me just being a chef just went to go source some ingredients. And I found out more about the organization. And I couldn't believe more people in my city didn't know about it. Wow. So I got on board to find out how I could help out. Found out they were starting like an agricultural apprenticeship program. So I joined that last year, learning how to grow food, which last year was my first year doing that.
Shout out to Andre
that.
Davis.
Right. Okay, so you know Dre. Oh,
my
wow.
Brother. We grew
that's
up together.
Beautiful, man.
Yeah, that's my it's brother. We graduated together. Same high school. Yeah.
All full circle. Yeah. We were just Salute. Talking about already being family and not even knowing it.
Yeah.
Indeed. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Andre, I've worked with Andre very closely over the past year. Him.
Amazing.
Shout
farmer.
Out to Jose Abreu.
Yeah.
So these guys, they taught me everything I know about agriculture, and I was able to take the things that I've been learning with growing food to apply it to my culinary endeavors.
Indeed.
To make it full circle. And so learning how to grow food was amazing. But then it's like I noticed that the people that come to the farmers market aren't really always people that look like us.
Mm.
And so it's a lot of people from other communities that are privy to this information.
Right.
But then our people, they just go into the stores that they're the Dollar Generals or the little corner stores where they can just get some food in a can real quick.
Right.
There's not really access to fresh ingredients.
Right.
And so that's where the Grodega comes in, which is Growing High Point's mobile market. So the things we grow in the different farms we have around the community, we actually put on the Grodega and we travel to these different neighborhoods, the quote unquote food deserts. Mm. And we were able to provide them with the fresh fruit and vegetables and produce that they need.
Right.
And they can also use their EBT and WIC and stuff like that to purchase these things.
Indeed.
So there's no excuse not to be able to have some fresh stuff in the home.
And along with bringing these things to you, the greatest part of it is the education.
Right.
They bring the actual education to you.
Really?
A lot of times people don't access things because they don't know about these things.
Right.
A lot of people don't want these things until they're offered these things.
Right.
So once they're offered, like Growing High Point, they offer you a chance to purchase these vegetables and they offer you an entryway into taking a journey to better health, which is absolutely needed. The education of how to, you know, how to do and making it accessible to people.
Definitely.
Great organization. I believe in everything they do and every move they make is for the greater good.
Salute.
And it's a very, very wonderful. I encourage everybody to look them up, Growing High Point, and get into everything that they're doing. Support this effort.
Absolutely.
They're doing a great job.
Absolutely. Growing High Point, ladies and gentlemen, Growing High Point, Grodega, you know, Eats and Beats, like all of these movements is really supporting the community, like, and it's helping you from the inside out, because that's really where it starts, on the inside.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then it goes outward. And also, like, I feel like food is feeds the soul, so that impacts the way you feel and also how you interact with others.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It does.
It can trickle to so many different things in our communities. And like with Growing High Point, it's a really great initiative. But also, you know, we've seen a lot of rough things from High Point as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, so maybe if we can start from the internal, showing, getting these kids introduced to these type of things as well, we can limit some of those of the outbursts. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
There was a starting point where things went that direction.
Right.
Mm.
This is the starting point where it goes in the other direction.
Right.
You know, and at this point, with everything that everyone is bringing to the table, the health, the unity, you know, the education, self-awareness, all of that, this is the starting point to grow. And it won't take as long. Because it, contrary to popular belief, positivity does move at a higher rate than negativity.
It does.
And it does start internally, like you were saying. And
they
kind of quote one of my good brothers, Akeem White, who actually has a lot of positive movements out here in Greensboro. Also, he has a foundation called Beautify the Block, where they go out into the different projects in Greensboro and pick up trash. And also another organization called Hydrate the Hood, where we bring fresh, live, alkaline spring water to these different neighborhoods also.
Oh, man, that's dope.
And speaking on, like, what we put inside ourselves internally affects our world externally. He always has this thing where he says, like, how a lot of children, you know, in school, the teachers try to say they got like different like attention deficit disorders and they're hyper. But the thing is, it's not an attention deficit disorder. It's a nutrition deficit disorder.
Indeed.
Because they get up early and the first thing they do, they say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And they break their fast with like a sugary cereal or like, you know, some pancakes with a bunch of high fructose corn syrup or something on it. And then you expect these children to go sit in class and sit still and pay attention. And it's not the fact that they have some mental disorder. It's the fact that the foods that they're ingesting first thing in the morning, it's not preparing them and giving them the right, like you said, we're lacking minerals. It's not giving them the proper things they need to sit in class and focus. And also their children, like you can't expect them to sit still for long anyway.
Right, right.
So yeah, it definitely starts with what you're putting inside yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I didn't even think about that, you know, that you're giving them some type of sugary cereal, and but first telling them to look when you get to class,
sit down
and pay attention. Right. After I just put this charged up body, you know what I'm saying? I put this charged up battery in your back.
Man,
you know, we don't really think of those type of things, but that's so important. That's that where the education comes in.
Right.
A lot of times people don't get. I was in sales before as well. Like so, a lot of times people don't get the buy-in until you give them the why it's important.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can tell someone what to do all you want, but they don't understand why that's important. You're not going to get their buy-in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So something like that on a literal, you know, what everyone can relate to, you know, seeing their kids go off like, okay, this can be an impact. You know what I'm saying? I can definitely hear that. Now, I know you guys doing some shout outs. I want to shout out my brother-in-law, Kadeem. He put me on to you, gave me some information, and he's actually into the food truck business as well.
Right.
Well, he's starting. His food truck is not on the ground yet, but he already invested in himself by purchasing one.
That's dope.
You know, he's trying to work on the, you know, inside of that truck and everything now and to cultivate it to a growing business. Any insight you would provide to people who are looking to start in that in this particular industry?
Yeah, definitely. I would say for me personally, it started from just kind of like grassroots, kind of like feet on the ground, getting out into the communities, letting people know what it is I was doing. So a lot of like catering events at first, just to kind of build the name up. I've done like a lot of private dinners and going to people's homes and cook for them and meal planning and meal prep for people. And even just from selling food out of my own house, out of my own home kitchen.
Oh, man.
So before even getting to a place of feeling like I could purchase a food truck or a food trailer, it was a lot of groundwork first. So just kind of building a name, cultivating myself to even feel like I was in a position to do so.
Right.
So now that I'm at the position to get the food trailer on the road, it kind of makes sense. People, it's like just the next natural progression for me.
Right.
Because, you know, especially from doing it out of the house, it's only with so much you can do out of your home kitchen before you have to expand that operation to the community. So definitely I would advise anybody wanting to get into this lane to start off where you're at. Because, you know, me working in a bunch of restaurants my whole life and then going to culinary school, at first I was kind of like, I had this kind of perception about myself. I didn't know like what publicly people would think, like, oh, he went to culinary school, he did this. They're probably expecting me to pop out with a restaurant or a food truck. And so I was kind of self-conscious initially.
Right.
But then I realized, like, I heard a voice speak to me and it said, you have to start where you're at with what you have.
Facts.
And so I was like, I'm just going to start right here in the crib and we're going to see what happens.
Yeah.
And before I knew it, you know, a few months later, I started attracting the right people into my life. And next thing I know, we're able to get this food trailer on the road.
Ah, man, I love it.
So definitely start
where you're at with what you have. One of the greatest universal powers you have. What you seek will seek you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people have this information that's out here and it's been accessible to everyone for a long time. And right now in the information age, it's easily accessible.
Yeah.
But what are you into? That same hour you're spending watching some crazy show with people fighting and
just doom scrolling on your
On your phone. Yeah. You know, invested just an hour into learning about one particular plant.
Right.
And the benefits that it can do for your body.
Right.
You know?
Very true.
And there's so many different avenues to go with just one plant.
Right.
You know,
right.
That you can learn what it does, how long it'll take to do it, and you know, everything.
Yeah.
And it's simple information, easily accessible information.
Yeah.
What you seek will seek you. Like I said, he set himself on a journey, and all of a sudden, the right people start lining up.
Order.
The opportunities start lining up.
Yes,
everything that's a piece to a natural progression
right
to what you're already doing,
right,
instantly falls in place.
Yeah.
I tell people, you know, my saying for my company is change your mind to change your motivation.
Right.
If you change what you're thinking about, it'll change actually what you're doing.
Right.
And yeah. makes it much easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and
for
people
sure.
are looking it's for beautiful. Easy and convenient. It becomes something that just is. It's not something you're trying to do or whatever. It's just the nature of what you are and how you do.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And a lot of times that starting point is the hardest.
Right.
You know, because you're so busy thinking about these things, being self-conscious. Well, if I'm going to start, it got to be perfect. But it don't got to be perfect.
It doesn't have to be perfect.
All you have to do is just start. Yep. Those things will eventually fall into place.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, right. And I heard you also talking about food trailer, food truck. Can you tell us, like, okay, what's the differences, like, when it comes to a business standpoint?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose a food trailer over a food truck?
Subscribe now for part two.
The Highest Point Podcast.
More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.